Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
It is Thursday, and hello, everybody. We are here on The Mike O'Mara Show, and we are delighted to see you and have you with us today. Thank you for your subscriptions. Thank you for buying our loud cups, our mugs, all the good stuff. We appreciate the support. Make sure, if you're going to get your yearly subscriptions, you do it soon, because that's that window will be closing. So get
tomorrow,
your yearlies.
Mike. Yes, midnight tomorrow.
Midnight tomorrow, and then you go. Then they get them monthly if they want.
Exactly.
Them,
right? Yes.
Yeah. So look, we normally come in here with our fun and frivolity, and this has been a weird 24-hour period based on a very, very significant tragedy in Washington, D.C. that has brought back a flood of memories for me on a variety of levels.
And Mike, I just want to mention they just wound up the press conference at the airport up here for the tragedy.
Yeah, I was watching it. I was watching
and,
it before we came in.
The Post and CNN have both issued official statements. No survivors are expected.
So that's what everybody was waiting for. As we tape this show, it is Thursday, January 30th, and the collision happened on the night of the 29th. And so not a really great night for me because of, you know, I think that when you have a national tragedy that that happens, especially when it involves airlines, because so many people fly, it really stops the presses. It stops the country. It stops everybody from thinking. When you have a tragedy that happens in the city that most of your career was in, and at the airport where you have probably had more in and out flights than any other airport in the United States, which is me. It really, really stops and pauses. And the memories come back with a tragedy like this because I have been on the air in one way or another for many, many tragedies. I go back to, I go back so far. I have no idea when the Air Florida crash was, but I think that if you give me the year that happened, I'll be able to tell you whether or not I was I know I was doing radio all the way back when Reagan got shot. So
1982.
1982. So that would have been back when I was doing radio at the very beginning of my career.
Maybe Herndon?
Out in Herndon, Virginia. I'm pretty sure Herndon or Annapolis is where I would have been at that particular time.
Both great.
But both great cities. The idea of this airport, for those of you that don't know, is the number one feature of Reagan National Airport. And I go back long enough. I was traveling in and out of that airport when it wasn't Reagan National, when it was National Airport.
Simply National, yeah.
And I have so many stories about it. It really amazes
me. You know, Mike, I was thinking today, oddly enough, the one aborted landing that you and I shared.
Were you on it with it? Was it TWA?
Yeah, and it was coming from Wichita into DCA. That was that flight. So, I mean, that's just a weird coincidence.
And that was coming from the north. The south flight path, even though they were going on the other the side runway, which I have very rarely flown into, was where they were coming. But they were technically coming sort of from the south, past Alexandria, to land Alexandria, Virginia. And I always the memory I have with that. And by the way, if you've lived under a rock, we're talking about a mid-air collision between a Black Hawk helicopter and a Canadair, a Bombardier jet, regional jet, flown a million times on those. I remember when they first came into existence, and it was so convenient because before that they were prop planes. So the idea of having a small jet that would service places like Hartford, Connecticut. Exactly. I was a regular on the flights from Reagan National all the way up to my home state when my dad was dying, and they got to know me on U.S. Air at the time, no longer in existence. The plane crashed, 64 people, I believe, on the regional jet, and three crew members on the military jet. So the fact that this was so many things make this cause for us to come in and be heavy with you for a while. The fact that we've all been around for another tragedy, which was the Air Florida crash, similar times a year where, you know, they crashed into the icy water, much icier than it was, but still frigid up there. Frigid, we'll get to Rob. I want to find out about the local coverage up there. The second thing, being in that city with so many issues nationally, the space shuttle, 9/11, and just dealing with it, has that same kind of feel to me when I hear that. But primarily, it's my memories of flying into that airport. And I got a few things I just want to get off my chest about that airport. When you fly into Reagan National, there are two approaches you take. It's from the north or from the south. And the south, for me, because I flew it so often, would always be the relaxing landing. I'd always feel, because Rob knows I'm such a phobic flyer, that I pay super close attention. Yes. I always got a window seat, always want to know what's happening. And the interesting thing, it appears that this was coming from the north and then did the box around to land from the south. I think that's the trajectory of the map that I have seen. And then coming from the Maryland side is where the Blackhawk was coming from. That's the way I understand it. I was watching it and watching it and watching it. And I remember...
Is when you come up the Potomac, right?
South is the straight in, and the north landing is the one where left, right, right, left, left. Okay. And we'll get to that because it's something else.
The north landing is quite an experience. And people need to know this is an airport literally in the city.
Well, it's in the city, and it's in with the city with so much air security, and so many areas where you are not supposed to fly. That you know, with the White House and the United States Capitol, that you have to make it when you're coming in from the north. You have to make kind of a left, right, left, right, and then come over the 14th Street Bridge, and boom, you know.
And there's always military helicopters in the air.
Constant helicopter traffic when you would drive into National, when you would be flying into National, when you would do that. But my memory would always be, oh, good, it's the west, so we're not going to be doing the left, right, left, right. So the fact that this happened on that approach.
Can I ask you a question?
Which is the least convoluted approach, you know,
Knowledgeable flyer, and especially about National, DC National Airport. The approach, is it determined by the weather or by traffic or
wind?
Wind is what it is. Okay.
I think they fly into the wind. I think that's pretty much what it is. It's not traffic. It's usually. I am not a pilot, so I do not know.
You know more than I do. So
You want the plane to land into the wind. That's my understanding of it. But they were landing from the south, and the video that we probably have all seen by now was the lights of the plane. You know, he had landing lights on the regional jet.
Would you like to see it?
And go ahead.
This
put it on
there. This is the webcam from the Kennedy Center, which overlooks the Potomac to the airport.
Looking down towards Alexandria.
Yeah, you can see the right there is the Lincoln Memorial. Keep watching your screen.
That's the plane in the center of your screen right there, right. And that's the Black Hawk to the left, and right now it makes the impact.
Ugh. Right, so they and, everyone had their lights on.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't... So it appears to me that the plane coming from the military base, was it Fort Belvoir?
It was Belvoir, said, yeah.
From Belvoir would have been, you know... I just don't get it yet.
Well,
we're going to get the questions answered, but did he look out the left? Did he have any awareness? I mean,
the confusing part is you would think the helicopter could quickly go up or down.
Yeah, yeah. And but certainly also, be alerted by air traffic control.
Yes.
I watch videos constantly about, you know, traffic on your right, traffic on your left, traffic at 10,000, traffic at 5,000.
I heard this morning the communication during at the time of the crash of the explosion, and there was a weird silence right before, almost like some comms went dead, and then the pie pops in. Another pilot says, "Did you see that?" So no one anticipated this happening. It was obviously, you know, something that they were not aware, and they didn't try to guide it because it was just silence.
Well,
and then
what
boom.
Will become evident relatively quickly will be the Transportation Safety Administration, TSA, mm-hmm. will be getting to the bottom of this. And if I get some of the agencies wrong, there are 5 million of them in D.C., they'll get to the bottom of this because I don't, with the amount of cockpit communications and takeoffs and landings, I'm fascinated by it. Because I'm scared of it. And when I'm scared of something, I like to know more about it. And the idea that in this day and age, that close to the airport, when air traffic control is at its most vigilant, because that's your likelihood of problems happening more than if you're flying at 36,000 feet.
Right.
You've got a greater chance around all that activity. But it comes down to the very last line of defense, which is the guys in the cockpit on the regional jet and the guys on the helicopter flying the helicopter. So we will have answers. Obviously, they weren't looking and they didn't see it. If they'd seen it, they could have avoided it.
I heard an interesting theory this morning that oftentimes, and this could have been a training run for this Black Hawk.
Because it was a training
run. It was a training run. Okay,
training flight,
confirm
right.
that. A lot of times they are taught to use the Potomac River as sort of like a roadmap. They follow the river because that's their route more often than not. And it's easy to follow the river because it's a narrow channel of water that goes right straight past Washington, D.C.
Can you explain what a river is again? Just kidding.
Yeah, it's where you're headed.
Okay. You're going to throw me in the river.
But the fact is if you're training someone to navigate by actual geography, maybe they weren't focused on what was real life around them.
Well, I can tell you. Go ahead, Josh.
Their air traffic controller did tell him, ask, do you see the plane, and to pass behind the plane.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's initial information that we are getting. That airport, and I've always been told that it's a problematic airport.
They've tried to close it a couple times, haven't they?
Because of the difficulties with all of it. Now, when you talk about Air Florida, that's the kind of crash that could happen at any airport. That's a plane that iced up and did not get lift, and that's why that plane crashed. But I will also tell you, I have one with Rob and another one. I've gone through two aborted landings at National.
Nothing
like
it.
And by the way, I have a theory when a pilot comes on after an aborted landing, if they come on at all,
right?
Sometimes they're not necessarily forthcoming with the reason because they will sometimes they're too high. Sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes the speed is too great. I mean, it's a timed situation, and they're usually flying the plane themselves and not on autopilot. And so when this happens, the one with the one that I remember with you, Rob, is that the one where I got out of the plane and I didn't get back on? Was that the one where they were going to take it to where they were going to take it back to BWI and
no,
then they were
going
to fly back
one.
To Reagan?
I do remember when that happened to you, but that was the other one.
Okay,
we ended
then that's the one I'm talking about. Enlighten me about the other one, because that must be the second one that I'm talking about.
We're coming in from Wichita, and it was,
That was weather, correct?
No, I think it was pilot error of some sort, because I remember it being a nice day. And
okay,
we were,
that was a different one.
I was ready, or had maybe even heard the wheels come down under the plane, and you're at that angle, and all of a sudden you hear a tremendous thrust, like a takeoff thrust, and you go back up.
Okay, that's the one. The one that I remember was we aborted. Did they come back around and land?
They landed
National?
At National.
All right,
the one that I
was on.
Yeah.
Well, they aborted the landing at National, diverted to BWI, and I didn't get back on the plane. I took a cab and I got my car at a later date.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to get back on a plane again.
I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
So there are aborted landings constantly. There are go arounds. All the time. It happens all the time. It happens because they're too high. It happens because maybe they're worried about the wind shear. It happens all the time. But that airport, I've always been aware of it being a little testy when it comes to that. But I don't think this had anything to do with that because of the route that they were taking in, which is a very slow descent, it's the river. That's your runway
again?
Up to it. That's where you're coming in, and you've got the longest, I guess, glide slope.
Yeah.
With the North Landing, you're kind of coming down at the last second. So
but
that
even
that was
the,
not involved in
even
with
the leisurely zone. Landing. You're looking at an old airport, probably 1930s,
like LaGuardia, city airport.
Exactly.
But
much closer to the city than LaGuardia.
I think of these, Logan is another one that comes to mind, where, a lot of these airports have been, runways have been lengthened to make it happen. But it still is, compared to a lot of cities that I've landed at, and I've been through probably four, maybe five aborted takeoffs and landings. The scariest one at Dallas Fort Worth, where I was on another American plane, and when you get up to speed, and then they cut the engines because they abort the takeoff, that's scary too.
Yeah.
But getting back to National, it's just always, I've always in the back of my mind been aware this is a difficult airport for pilots.
And they've also, Mike, as a lifelong D.C. resident, there's sort of a rumbling always that the reason National stays open is for politicians, is it's convenient
in and out,
and they're in the city. And
otherwise, you have to go way out of the city and
Dulles
deal with that.
Dulles is 40 miles away,
I wanted to ask you, being up in the D.C. area where you are now, I'm getting CNN coverage, I'm getting our local news down here. What are you getting up there? How's it been shaking out? You watched some of the local news.
I bopped around all the local news this morning. The best I got to give to Channel 5. And they had, of course, people, everyone had people everywhere. But I think one thing that was particularly heartfelt and very human of them is they sent one of their reporters out to a skating complex because, there were pro skaters on this flight coming in. They haven't.
Two Russians, they haven't been named, but they've
been Russians and I think four Americans and family coming in. And they talked about, these are these kids that, I went to school with some of them that would get up at 4 a.m. and go skate before school. And they were reflecting on the way this affected these kids who had these up and comers that they idolized coming in and the way it affected them. So there's the technical stuff about the airport and the jet and the helicopter, but there's this human side to it. And I think that's something that, when we go into this mode of covering an airline tragedy, sometimes we forget that it boils down to people, to souls. And I thought it's really sad. And they were able to emphasize the fact that still, regardless of all this stuff, that America has the safest airspace in the world. Statistically speaking, this is true.
When you think about the statistics, it's when you I'm still old enough where I am fascinated by the concept of flight. I still think it's truly amazing that you can get on a jet and go from
like
one place to the
Louis
other
C.K.,
in rapid time. It's just
routine
amazing.
When he says, you know, I had a horrible flight. Did you get in a chair and fly and land and you were safe?
Yeah.
You know, it's an amazing thing.
And
it really is.
When you study it like I do, the safety protocols with our air traffic control system, you know, you think two things are really going to affect a flight more than anything else: a catastrophic mechanical failure,
right,
or a catastrophic weather event that can't be foreseen. You don't think that on a beautifully crystal clear night in the nation's capital, that a plane that's coming in for a landing, when they are at their most vigilant, will have this kind of tragedy. And that's why, at the end of the day, if I was a betting person, I'm going to say pilot error on both ends. I think that that's probably what is going to be involved with this, as much as it's sad to say, because it does come right down to a human being being at the controls in both vehicles, in both aircraft. And it just sucks. The idea of, oh, the number of times I've been at that airport and I've waited for people and I've taken off, the laughs I've had at that airport, the great, it's just it hits close to home for
it
all
really
of us
does.
On this show.
And it's not like I go downtown a lot anymore.
Not like you go anywhere anymore.
Well, this is true, Mike, but I'm talking about particularly, first of all, Mike, there's a river. It's called the Potomac.
Yes, thanks
and
for
you have
the
to go
explaining.
Over
a narrow
bridge,
body of water that separates two
water.
Land bodies.
I was trying to describe actually the Potomac, not the actual river.
Well, that's,
But,
they're all, you know, a lot of rivers river. Are the same. Right.
But when you go
what,
through.
Josh, what I think when Josh just weighs in,
well,
that's every
what
river.
What river does not have two bodies of land on each side of it?
Yeah, but this, you have to admit, for a
he
major
was specifically
river,
talking about the Potomac River, Josh.
Because it's a narrow river. It's what I'm saying. Anyhow,
it's not
that's
a narrow river. It's a narrow river at spots, like every river is narrow at certain spots and wide at other spots. You
is this really what we're here
it.
To talk about?
Well, I'm sorry. When you make a stupid statement, sometimes we
Mike,
have to call you
life,
out on it.
My life is a series of bad decisions and stupid statements.
So you, when you go down there, when you occasionally
you
go
very,
out
no,
of the house.
What I'm saying is when I see daylight and I put on my long Nosferatu fingers and I go out into the daylight.
You wear your big long coat, your big long black coat.
No, but
you don't
what
still
I'm...
have that checkered coat, do you?
Oh, you,
you get rid of
I
that?
Do. No, I have. I love that coat.
Okay, just checking.
Because Mike, you know what? When you're when we were going to New York, city dwellers, you need a long coat because your legs get cold.
You do.
This is the world's largest coat, but that's right. Not why we're here today.
Okay. Yes.
I was going to say, even a casual visitor to the city. We'll see helicopters zooming up and down the Potomac all the time.
Security stuff all the time.
All the time.
And rocking, too, right?
Visitor. Oh, flying.
I mean, I'm really
oh,
flying along at low altitude.
I mean, to it. A point that you almost want to go to your radio and turn on the news station to see what's going on because
exactly.
There's an urgency. But it's just daily business. And it's mind-boggling that this could happen because of this happening all the time. But also, that traffic in such a condensed area, it's really, it's a horrifying.
The air traffic you're talking about.
Yeah, the air traffic.
And as far as D.C. is concerned and Wichita, you know, so many little things on this. Where was the – first of all, I when it first happened, I said, was it taking off or landing? Then you find out it's landing. Well, then the first question you have – and by the way, the talking heads do the best they can when they have no information and they've got a pad. And I was desperate to say, well, where was the plane coming from? Because I've flown on regional jets, and we connected back in the day when we flew – to Wichita because we had an affiliate in Wichita, Kansas, and
KFH.
we flew to Dallas-Fort Worth, and why do I think that might have been one of my aborted takeoffs? I'm not sure. But anyhow, you think about Wichita and then making, you know, really talk about a convenient regional jet flying from Wichita, Kansas, all the way to Reagan National. That's a pretty long flight for a regional jet.
It's
I don't know if that'll play into it at all. You
that's
know?
The only nonstop route offered. between the two cities every day.
Yeah.
And it almost always sells out. That's why there were so many passengers on it.
Oh, because it was jam-packed, and those planes are tiny.
It seats 60. It had 60 plus crew. So, I mean, that plane
and the way
full.
It's configured, I've been on many of them. You got the first class section where you have one seat and then two on the right.
Right.
And then the rest of the plane is two and two. And it's
Is the
so
one
small.
Seat like a love seat?
No, it's like a full-fledged first-class seat and a little extra room. But the thing about D.C., we now, in modern history, in recent history, and if you add it up when you go back to 1982, we have had two major, major air disasters at this airport. And that you check the record of major airports in the United States, a lot of them, certainly in modern history, don't have those.
You're
and
right.
I don't think it has either accident is necessarily going to be pinned on it being Reagan National, other than the helicopter traffic that exists around that airport. But there are many, many cities that have helicopter traffic.
Is that a national airport issue or a Fort Belvoir issue?
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to find out about that. What I will tell you is the idea of, if you want to look, and for those of us that you might be seeing it later and you might have seen the press conference, if you want to talk about bureaucracy, when they stand up there and they've got to give a report, and I thought the mayor did a really nice job with the tone, and kudos to Senator Tim Kaine for On and Gone, where he did that. When you talk about thanking the government officials and the agencies, and it's stunning. Prince William, National Park Police, Homeland Security, it goes on and on. There are more
Alexandria,
cops.
Fairfax, D.C.
Oh, my God.
Of them running, as they said in the press conference, running into the danger.
Josh, you were going to say something.
Oh, well, I was going to say, as far as Baltimore County also sent fire department down.
Tons
down there.
It was of people. Everyone. And they probably knew. Right away that this was going to be a recovery, and not just based on the impact alone. You can see it in the sky when it does that. So unfortunately, with the recovery, you got people. I don't know if I can even wrap my head around the feelings, not only that you had a loved one on that flight, but just waiting for that final word to come down, even though you know what that word is going to be as they do that. And for the people, yes, go ahead.
One news station was interviewing a guy who was there waiting for his wife.
I saw that. Everybody's seen that guy, the young guy, the young man who is there. And he was to me the picture of in shock. That because he was literally numb, you could tell he didn't have the reaction yet to have to deal with that situation.
And to turn to the people on the plane, you have to understand how close they were to landing.
Yeah.
They were so close. I mean, people had received texts from people on the plane that said, "We're landing now." And, you know, they had no idea that the last, 400 feet of their departure would be the end of their lives.
And it's such Rob mentioned it before, the air traffic control and the flight systems in the United States of America are so incredibly detailed.
Mm-hmm.
And, the answers will come. People will want the answers. And the only, for the rest of the flying public, as much as I don't want to say it, but you have to mention it, that out of these incidents, because we are so dedicated to getting things right, you will have obviously corrections that are made so that something like this can't happen again. I don't know the age of the Bombardier jet. I'm not sure how new it was. I don't think a lot of them are new. I think a lot of them have been around for a very, very long time. I now base this on my own personal experiences with regional jets because, I know the Embraers, I know the Canadairs, I know the Canadair Bombardier, I think that's the name of it, if I've got it correct.
Were you at an age flying prop planes pretty consistently for regional stuff?
Probably early on, yes. And
I did one to Buffalo once.
Yeah, prop planes, I'm fine. And by the way, going up to Maine, more often than not, there's a company called Cape Air that flies out of Boston up into the Maine area. And the prop Cape Air. There you go.
Those were the ones with the Wright brothers?
Yeah, the Wright brothers were on there. I remember there was a plane that my family took, my mom, my dad, and me.
Yes.
And it was called Pilgrim Airlines.
I remember that airline.
And I kid you not, I've told this story a million times, that we get on the plane, and as we are walking up the steps that they pulled out of the plane,
exactly.
that's the kind of plane it was, just like a regular private jet. One of the guys says, because there were probably 9-10 people on this plane, said,
right.
Who's going to wind the rubber band? And the look that the pilot gave this guy.
Oh, no.
And we sit down, and this contributed to my phobia of flying in general. I am not kidding you. It's a night flight, I think, coming from New York up to Bradley International Airport up in, outside of my hometown. And he brought out a flashlight to look at the controls. That's what he was doing. And I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Always be prepared.
But getting out of that, for the people in Washington that have experienced the Pentagon crash on 9/11, that have experienced Air Florida, that remember this, there's a little memory to go along with this this type of incident, and our heart goes out to everybody. So I just want to say sorry for anybody that we have connections in Wichita, we have connections in Washington, lots of connections in Washington, D.C. God bless those people and God rest their souls that perished in the crash. And, not to mention the very probably young men that were on that helicopter serving their nation. Just a tough thing. And with the last word I wanted to say on this, when you get all the agencies that are standing up at a press conference, with all the things you hear about the divisiveness in America and the battles that we fight, look, you're going to have that. That's politics. But when you see everybody come together, you realize that as far as safety and the safety of the American public, there are an awful lot of people that have their eyes on the prize when it comes to this. And there are a lot of people that are paying attention to this. And out of it, hopefully, will come greater safety measures that happen. But it's not going to be any consolation to the 64 people that were on that plane, including the pilots and the flight attendants and all that. Just a real tragedy and something that brought back so many, many memories on for me. The biggest one being Air Florida. And, I shouldn't bring this up, but it pissed me off back then, and it still pisses me off today that, Howard Stern's had a great career. He really, really has. But
he's
Howard
made a
Stern
lot of money, yes.
He's made a lot of money. Howard Stern made some steps that I didn't necessarily agree with back in the day, okay? Howard Stern, the way he took no prisoners with every market he went into, including John DiBella in Philadelphia, and the way he just would eviscerate people with no prisoners, no matter the cost. And early in his career, bad judgment when he made light of the Air Florida situation. Mm-hmm. And, I understand when you are the definitive shock jock in the world, you're trying to do that. But at the same time, in my career, I think that as yuckety yuck and as shocking as we have to be, occasionally you have to take a moment and you have to pause. And here I am sitting here doing a podcast as he counts his tens of millions up in Long Island. But I still
maintain,
even as a man in his 20s, I'm looking back at that saying, what the F was that?
Aren't you empathetic towards Howard?
not always.
Who's happier?
Not always. Look, I get it. There are still comedians that do it.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Still, look, and it's a young thing. And if I can say this, and I didn't plan to talk a lot about this, but there, I believe in joke reality, everything is fair game. I really do. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. But I can certainly express my taste. And with young comedians, in many cases, I think there will always be a segment that if they say the most inappropriate things, they can possibly think of, that's what they're trying to get the laugh with.
Yeah.
And I think that that is true to a point. But there's also, you know, occasionally you respect the moment.
Yeah.
And I think in a time like this, there are enough people that have memories triggered. There are enough people that are reacting that might hear my voice that are doing that or hear a radio person's voice. You have to be aware of that. I've always believed that in my radio career. That's always been a line I didn't choose to cross, and maybe my career would have done better if I had. There are a bunch of lines that I wouldn't go over. And that's the, you know,
the
idea.
Are you listening, Family Guy?
I hated that. I always hated that about comedians that do it, and I've always hated that, like, you know, it frustrates me when people...
It's an easy way to get a reaction.
And you're not less of a man...
No.
If you avoid that. I think in many cases, being sensitive to a moment like this makes you more of a man.
Hear, hear.
Just the way I look at it. So our sympathies to people on that flight. We'll have more information coming out as the days go on, but nothing's going to change the real fact. We will take a break here. We'll get back on track with the show. Later on in the broadcast, we will be... Rob wanted me to get a name for the community I live in. And,
yes.
I've gotten something rather creative. And later on, too, we've got some movie information and the ice cream delivery. Lots coming up right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back, everybody. As you set resolutions for 2025, consider how learning a new language can enrich your life, whether through travel, career advancement, or cultural appreciation. Learning a new language can help you connect with others and explore new cultures. Here's a great idea. Learn a language as a fulfilling New Year's resolution. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer 25 languages like Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. Plus, Rosetta Stone has no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value. This is a lifetime membership. You can keep learning from now until forever. Start the new year off with a resolution you can reach. Today, Mike O'Mara Show listeners can take advantage of this New Year's special of Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today and do it right now.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
There we go. Oh, I found the button that gets me the commercial that lets me
button,
tell it
Mike,
to you.
Come on, button
I
it
found
up.
The button that gets the commercial that lets me tell it to you, and that's why I can tell you about Magic Mind. Our friends at Magic Mind realize that staying focused can be tough, but Magic Mind has been a total game changer for all of us. This little shot, packed with mushroom nootropics, adaptogens, and essential vitamins, keeps you clear-headed, productive, and stress-free without caffeine. Not without the caffeine crash, I should say. That thing where you get up and down. And it tastes amazing. And now you can end your day with Magic Mind, too. This month they're offering an awesome bundle. featuring Magic Mind and their new Magic Mind Sleep. Perfect for powering through your day and winding down at night with a risk-free guarantee. There's no reason not to try it. So, listen, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, just like me, you're going to love Magic Mind. Right now, get 45% off the Magic Mind bundle with my link, magicmind.com/OmeraJan. That's a different code. Be aware of that. Don't miss out. Head to magicmind.com/OmeraJan. That's OmeraJan. And let's make some magic, people. There it is. There it is. Why no news? Sorry. My voice is a little rocky today, too. Sorry about that. Let's get started today with a nutritionist. I always like to quote nutritionists from England because I think they are just super smart when it comes to what we put in our bodies. I sent you a picture about it, Josh, earlier today. I don't know if you got it.
I've got it.
A nutritionist.
I got it.
Isn't he matter of fact, right? Didn't we have a good meeting, too, before the show?
Oh, the best. We had a four-minute meeting.
We can accomplish in 4 minutes something. It was a bing, bang, boom. A nutritionist in England came up with what she claims, and I'll wait till the end to show you the picture.
Good.
She claims this is the healthiest meal in the world.
I'm guessing it's a lot of soft food if she's from England.
Not sure. With their rotted teeth? Is that what you're talking about?
That's where I was going.
It's three courses. A starter, a main course, and dessert.
A starter.
The whole thing is only 1,200 calories. So it's a good amount of food.
All right.
But you won't find it on a menu anywhere, so you need to make it at home. Here's what she claims is the healthiest meal in the world. The starter... I have no idea about this cheese, Rob. Maybe you do. You're more of a foodie than I am. Labneh, L-A-B-N-E-H cheese. Labneh cheese.
It is actually manufactured on the human body.
That's so nasty. Labneh cheese with roasted tomatoes and broccoli.
I don't know Labneh cheese. Do you know broccoli?
It is made from strained yogurt.
Okay, it's a fermented cheese popular in the Middle East. I don't like Middle East food. I just don't. It's got
like
healthy...
Cincinnati?
Middle East.
Oh, not Midwest. I'm sorry.
It's got healthy bacteria that's good for you. All right, show the photo of the Labneh cheese. This is the...
Oh, Mike, it's good for you.
Labneh cheese.
Is that... Just the plate on the left would be the starter, right? The appetizer?
That's the roasted tomatoes. On the right, I think, is
that
the...
bugs on it?
I don't know what the whole thing is. The main course is citrus mackerel salad. Wretch. Hold
Man, there's nothing better than an oily fish like a mackerel.
Oily fish. There you go. Citrus mackerel salad with chickpeas, fennel, and red onions. Mackerel is one of... I've caught a lot of mackerel in my day up in Maine.
Yeah.
One of the healthiest types of fish because it's loaded with omega-3s. She says... To top it with black olives, sauerkraut, and pumpkin seeds.
I don't know. No.
Yeah, nastiness.
Yeah.
For dessert, tofu chocolate mousse with blueberries.
First of all, even real chocolate mousse you don't want to pair with blueberries.
The recipe calls, of course, for dark chocolate, not milk chocolate, not the good chocolate, like I ate when I got the ice cream last night. The blueberries are loaded with antioxidants.
Yeah.
So let's take another look at that dog
that
food.
Greasy mackerel?
That we had. Delicious. I think that's the mackerel on the right.
Yeah. Is that holy mackerel there?
Holy mackerel. That's only at Lent.
Okay.
Holy mackerel. Wow.
Hey, it's Friday. Could I get a really oily fish, please?
Yeah, mackerel. We used to have up in Maine when the mackerel are running. Hey, are the mackerel running? They run during the summertime, and they're little tiny tinker. They're called tinker mackerel. And I've caught Spanish mackerel. Hello, Spanish mackerel. I've caught a lot of mackerel in my day. I really have. When it comes to the refs and the Kansas City Chiefs, Dean, I have to say this like Jack Kent Cook, Dean Blandino, who used to be the vice president of officiating and now is the rules analyst on Fox, says his own brother thinks the fix is in.
Well,
here's the quote
smart.
From Dean Blandino.
Yeah.
My brother is like they want Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl. He says the league is rigged and that I can't say anything about it. Well, I think a lot of America feels that way.
The Bills fans have a great video out right now showing highlights of the last game where the ball was placed maybe a yard or two short.
of the first down
plays. Yes.
Yeah. And you have one ref coming in from the top that was on the backside, and the other one coming from the bottom of your screen that had it at the right spot.
That was one of the plays. They have like five or six of them just like that from the game they're showing.
It's the Kansas City spot. That's what they call it.
I have a quote from Dean Blandino's brother. He says, is a fix that want to make of the Taylor Swift coming to the game.
Why even go to the game and pay for your ticket?
The ball, she's in a wrong place.
The ball stays the same as before. Blandino told his brother, quote, 150 million people are going to watch the Super Bowl, regardless of Taylor Swift being there. Like, enough, stop. He added, quote, I think if there was a script, I think the head of officiating would be pretty important in that process, and no one ever invited me in the room. I don't think it's fixed.
Very fact that he issued that statement makes me think something's up.
Any real fan probably once or twice is, oh, man, that's got to be rigged. It's the dumbest thing you can say about a sporting event sometimes. Unless, of course, it's the Black Sox, which I was around for, Shoeless Joe Jackson, back in the day.
You were a bat boy, right?
I was a bat boy, yeah, for Shoeless Joe, and I would help him take off his shoes.
I was going to say, you were also shoeless, weren't you? But that was poverty.
Yeah, that was poverty, and I scraped nickels together.
Shoeless Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. And all the other players, I was probably known as a locker room attendant, I was not a bat boy. I was a locker room attendant. And the interesting thing is I would polish the other player's shoes. And in Shoeless Joe's case, I would wash his feet.
Very nice. Well, that's because you were Catholic.
Listen, it's been made fun
of. When you were a bat boy, I know you bounced around team to team.
Yes.
Did Ty Cobb ever want to show you anything in the dark?
Such a racist asshole. We've heard lots of jokes about Leonardo DiCaprio's dating cycle. Find him young, legal, but young. Date him for a while, then release him back into the wild when they turn 25 and start again.
Yeah, like
Ricky Gervais, great jokes about Leonardo DiCaprio. But what if those ladies finally turn the tables on him?
Look out.
Leo's got a current girlfriend. She's lots of Italians in the news today. She's an Italian model named Vittoria Ceretti.
And let it go that he's DiCaprio. It's not like he's coming in from England.
This is true. She's not 25. She's 26.
Look out.
Ooh. Not only that, but his friends apparently think he's whipped. Here's the quote. No one has seen Leo this in love or this devoted to a woman really ever. I don't know where that comes from.
I think you're the friend they quoted.
This is the friend goes on to say, isn't it amazing how verbal the friends are? They just go on and on.
Yes.
His loyalty is usually to his boys, but she's become the priority over his time with his guy friends. That sounds like the unnamed source quote, doesn't
it?
Yes,
she is. She's
lovely. Yeah, she's very lovely. Very smart looking. Very intelligent.
She looks mad.
She does look pissed off in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He still hangs out with them, but Vittoria is usually included. And if she's not, it's because she's off working somewhere out of town. Leo's friends are allegedly finding this a tough pill to swallow. This is the BS quote of BS quotes.
I'm trying to think what friend would be the unnamed source. It has to be someone who's moderately famous, but not cool enough.
It's Matt Damon.
I don't even think that. I think it's David Schwimmer.
Apparently, Leo is even talking about her moving in with him.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Ooh. It seems every day I have another story that is just for Rob Spiewak that he's going to be very, very, very excited about.
It's why I come to work.
Netflix is rebooting Little House on the Prairie.
Yes!
The Woo-hoo! Original series told the kind of true story of the Ingalls family who lived on a farm in Minnesota in the late 1800s.
Yes.
I don't know. It was loosely based on the books of Laurel Ingalls Wilder, and it ran from 1974 to 1983. A Netflix exec says the new version will be, quote, part hopeful family drama, part epic survival tale, and part origin story of the American West. There's a movie I watched. No, a series I watched, and I'm trying to remember it. It's my kind of origin story.
Primeval.
Primeval. That's it.
Yes, we talked about it.
Thank you for the memory. I appreciate that.
I don't like the notion of recreating or rebooting Little House. I think they did a perfect job the first time.
No, they did not, because it was a lie. It was your TV lie. It's not the way the West was, Rob.
I'm not saying, and you know what? A good argument is whether or not it's a Western or not.
Yes.
I always said it was, but I also see it as a link between the Westerns that were so popular in the 60s, like Bonanza and Gunsmoke.
Right, which were all BS Westerns.
Oh, I hated Gunsmoke, the worst show ever.
But Bonanza, I mean, it was
all fake. Bonanza was entertaining.
But I like the American Primeval, which is the real gritty West, the really unwashed, dirty hair.
Well, like, there had to be families back then.
But you know what this is? Is this just going to be a Taylor Sheridan inspired?
Yeah, you're
Netflix
right.
Grab.
Yeah.
Do you think this is going to be as gritty as a Taylor Sheridan type thing?
No.
But they want to jump in that.
Can I take a moment to tell you the greatest? It's brief. The greatest Michael Landon story ever.
Sure.
I like Michael Landon. I thought he was fine in Bonanza. I think what he did in Little House was really a career-setting piece of work. He did
a great job. Of the episodes were really fine.
Some of them really fine. Mm-hmm. But after they were allowed one more TV movie, NBC said they didn't want to have anything to do with the series anymore. They were cutting all ties with Little House. And so Michael Landon was pissed about this. And so when he wrote the last script, he purposely wrote it that part of the plot was to blow up the town of Walnut Grove with dynamite, like the houses and the mercantile. It was because bad land barons were coming, and to destroy their purchase, they destroyed with dynamite in the show.
Wait a minute,
all of
to
the
destroy
set.
Their purchase, and then you said they destroyed. No, the townsfolk were to destroy the town
in the
so
plot.
That the robber barons wouldn't get the stuff they'd built.
Right, but the real reason is that Michael Landon was pissed at NBC and didn't want to leave them a fully functioning back set, a backlot set of all the buildings. That was his last little FU to NBC. He blew up the set.
What goes around comes around with Landon's daughter on Yellowstone playing Teeter, one of the great characters on Yellowstone, played by Michael Landon's daughter. Did you know that?
I had no idea. Is her hair as nice as his dad's?
She does the greatest accent you will ever hear, almost unrecognizable English, and it's fabulous. God, Rob, you should watch Yellowstone. You really should.
I tried. I didn't.
Too gritty
didn't
for you? Not fluffy enough?
Not sweet enough? No.
You wouldn't like Beth Dutton like breaking a beer bottle over a woman's head like I do?
It's a terrific waste of beer.
It's great. The original series streams on Peacock, where people watched more than 13 billion minutes of it. That's your version.
Yeah.
In 2024. 13 billion minutes. Who came up with that statistic? Huh?
Netflix. And you know, also, if you ever dip your toe back into Little House, I think that Mrs. Olsen.
I've never had a toe in Little House. Never watched an episode of it.
Well, you were out partying when it was in its thing.
I probably was.
It was a Monday night. You were doing what you've done for your entire life. Mike, I was five when
home
it premiered.
Watching television, which
but
is
Mrs.
what you
Olsen
do now.
Is one of the greatest television characters ever. I put her up there with Mr. Rourke. She has such a great plot arc through all the episodes.
See the stuff he likes, Josh? Do you see that? He likes the fluffy. Yes. He loves the fluffy stuff. That's what he digs.
I watched it as a kid.
Yes, I did not. I like Beth Dutton. I like evil. That's what I like. That's me. I like evil
on my
television.
What if Beth Dutton rode into town and boned Mr. Olsen?
Even my comedy. I loved All in the Family because it was so edgy.
Yeah.
That's what I liked.
I liked
the edge. I'm trying to think. What is something I... Oh, okay. I like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Oh, no, that's edgy too, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but in a great way. I like any kid's movie that features a chicken getting its head cut off.
I love the kid's movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Because that.
How long since you've watched it?
Probably within the year. I probably watched it with my son.
I didn't think it held up.
Child Catcher? Oh my God.
Well, I mean, he's scary, but the movie itself is.
Special effects are a little choppy, but you know,
it was written by Ian Fleming.
Yeah, the same guy that did the James Bond novels.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. And there was a scene in the original one where Dick Van Dyke had a silencer and shot the lady.
I have that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, hold on a second.
Strictly Scrumptious.
Can you give me the dialogue? Because I don't remember the.
Dick Van Dyke said, "You don't want to blow this whistle? Well, how about blowing this?" and silencer.
No, that's not the one I wanted. Hold on.
I was thinking a single shot.
Yeah. Silencers didn't work back then.
I'm sorry. I just, I have it somewhere, but I don't know where it is.
Oh, there it is. Okay, try it again.
Okay. Here's your new setup. Ready?
Okay.
I'll show you something that's truly scrumptious.
There it is. All right. Now I got to go back to the thing. I am the worst board op in the world.
So Michael Landon blew up the entire set.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you for the callback. Finally.
Yes.
A new study found breakups tend to be harder on men than they are on women.
What do you say, Mike?
How about Josh, too? He's been through one.
That's true. That's true.
That I know of. There's a stereotype that women are more emotionally dependent, but it might be the opposite. The study found men, at least straight men, tend to rely on their romantic partner for more emotional support. Women don't need to as much because they also get it from their friends. Ah. It found guys, I can testify that this is
that
true.
That makes a lot of sense.
True. Josh, do you agree with me on that? I would say it's absolutely true. It found guys are more likely to see relationships as being beneficial to their overall well-being, and they're not wrong. They get more mental and physical benefits than women do, leading to better mental health and higher life satisfaction. Men are also more likely to Rob, do you deny all of this?
I'm just listening. I'll give you a fair take at the end.
The happily married for, or allegedly happily married for his whole life take. Men are more likely to report feelings of sadness and loneliness after a breakup. And because of that, they're not usually the one who instigates it. I didn't know that either. Previous studies have found 70%. This is terrifying to me.
Go ahead.
Because I'm pretty satisfied with my relationship. 70%,
high praise, Mike.
70% of divorces are initiated by women. Oh my
God. Well, because men don't initiate; they just go cheat.
Wow.
And it's expensive to get divorced.
Well, you never really get over a breakup, especially when you look at your checking account. Am I right, ladies?
There you go. All
Mike,
right.
As far as someone who's been married almost 30 years now, the sadness and the loneliness of divorce is equal to the sadness and loneliness of a marriage. So,
there you go. Yep.
Roll the dice.
And from Rob Spiewak's book, let me see. Got a quote here.
Oh, you have it.
Yes. The key to a successful marriage, never leave the house. That's what it is.
Well, no, you don't leave the house. The lady, you got to get out of the house.
Oh, yeah. She's got to be out there every day running around doing things for no reason at all.
Go do something, please.
We'll take a break and we will come back in a second here. Hey, is this you? Hi there. My name is Penelope and I'm a pretty girl, a very pretty girl. And I love coffee, but caffeine makes me jumpy, jittery, and wreaks havoc on my digestion.
Oh, Penelope.
Do you understand what I mean?
I do.
Penelope and I'm perplexed. And my name is Penelope. We both did the same thing. Yep, I'm pretty little Penelope Poo. The hot chick. Wham!
She's upset because she doesn't like all the caffeine in her coffee, Josh.
You want some Dom Pardo for this one?
Yes.
Well, Penelope, your problems are over thanks to Savorista. Savorista Coffee offers premium craft decaf and half-calf blends with bold flavors, ethically sourced beans, and natural decaffeination. Plus, it's small batch roasted for exceptional taste. You will definitely find your perfect blend at Savorista.com. This is unlike any decaf you've ever tried. Savorista delivers a flavorful coffee experience without compromise. So, whether you're cutting back on caffeine or seeking incredible coffee anytime, Savorista is the perfect choice. Head over to Savorista.com and treat yourself to Savorista. And make sure you use the promo code TMOS for 25% off. 25% off with the code TMOS at Savorista.com. And you can call me Penny, not Penelope. Oh, I didn't know that was the short name for Penelope.
Sure, Penny. Yeah.
Yeah, Shiny Penny. We earn a commission when you use the code, so please do. Thank you. Thank you all very
Penny
much.
Penny Poo.
Penny Poo.
You're a pretty girl.
A pretty girl, Penny Poo. Pretty girl, pretty girl. Sorry, I got sidetracked there for a second.
Great spot.
Rob said to me the other day, I have Happy Valley where I play golf.
Mm-hmm.
I have Cocoonville, which was my old neighborhood, and I named it after Cocoon the movie because everybody's old there.
You did
and,
too?
They're all down here now, and when I drive through my neighborhood, I notice that there are people at various stages of retirement. And there are also young families that live in this community as well. It's one of the things I like about my community. It's a mixed community. And Rob, don't worry about that mixed term. Okay. Don't worry. Yes, it is that too.
We'll talk.
Thank you. The fact was brought up that I have never named my community.
This is true.
And you wanted me to do that because I can refer to it. I don't like to tell you exactly where I'm living because that wouldn't be any fun.
Yeah, I remember when the show started and we were always giving out our home addresses and our Social Security numbers, and it really came to bite us on the ass. And so what you want to do is
deliver. You know, when I had that house in Manassas, when I was on the street corner, that busy street in Manassas, Grant Avenue and Portner Drive, a very busy main drag.
Grant and Portner.
Grant and Portner. Portner had to be some probably Confederate general, too, I suppose.
I'm sure he killed a lot of people.
Probably did. But Grant, you know, we represented the Union on the main drag, which is
very,
very
cool. Yeah, but
he was a drunkard.
He was a common inebriant.
Yes. And, of course, there. Let's not be confused in the Northern Virginia area with Lee Jackson Memorial Parkway.
And, Mike, until not that long ago, Lee Jackson King Day, in which we honored Martin Luther King and the two premium generals.
That was a Virginia law, wasn't it?
It was. It was a federal. It was a state holiday, Lee Jackson King Day.
Can you imagine the MFers that came up with that? Well, we have to celebrate our heritage as well. Come on now.
Here's what I know is that when we celebrate Lee Jackson King Day, it is usually too cold to wear our seal suckle suits.
Very
so we'll stay inside and have a drink and celebrate Lee Jackson and rest.
I put a little thought to it.
Thank you.
You know, there are some Spanish terms that are used in the neighborhood, you know, with road names and all of that.
Oh, right. I thought you meant
El Car Wash, exactly. I have made an attempt to utilize that in the name of my my community.
Now, I took French. So, can you help me? What does El Car Wash mean?
The car wash.
Ah.
With, okay. I believe, over, and I'd love to get them as a sponsor, Josh, with over 40 locations.
I was excited that I saw an El Car Wash down in West Palm.
There it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't
they've got them all
over. Is the president going to move all 40 locations south of the wall?
He's going to round them up. They're gonna fly all of the El Car Washes out of the country. I have directed. You know what? There's so many good Trumps, I'm not going to do them anymore. All right. I have the name.
Okay.
The name of my community, if you would like to come visit me, is Rancho de Entierro. Rancho de Entierro. If you'd like to come and see me, I would welcome you to visit us here where we have all sorts of wonderful activities going on.
I'm not a Spanish guy. Day would mean of, right?
You're going to have to. I'm working on getting the pronunciation from our man, Josh.
Rancho would mean like ranch, I guess, like the dressing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Entierro is.
Okay. Would you like to share it? Do you have it for us, Josh?
Well, it just says interior.
No.
So maybe I'm
saying Entierro. Entierro.
Oh, with an E.
Yeah. Entierro. Rancho de Entierro. That changes the flavor of it a little bit.
It probably should be Rancho Dentero.
No, it's Rancho Entierro mouth. Hold on. He's got the translation.
Google, it means whole ranch.
No. No. Find another one, please. That's not what I intended. It's Entierro. Entierro.
Welcome Rancho to the Rancho
Entierro.
I found the problem.
Thank you.
I did not put the I in Entierro.
There it is. Okay. It's Rancho. Welcome to Rancho de Entierro.
Which changes it not to hole, but to burial ranch.
Oh, the burial ranch.
The ranch of burials.
I love it.
By the way, that went exactly how I wanted it to go. Even though it sounded like it was a mistake, it was perfection. I wanted all of that to happen, and it did. That
I'm
makes
so
me
glad.
Sometimes realize that this is a pretty special broadcast we've got here. Rancho de Entierro, where you can come home and, you know, see your friends one day and just notice that they're missing the next day. There they are.
Mike, it's Rancho Dentero, where the friendships run deep.
It's not Dentero. It's Rancho de Entierro.
Forgive me. It's where friendships run deep, as deep as 6 feet.
I came up with that one because I just didn't want to say there is also Cemeteria, I think, or cemetery.
That
or
would be Ranch
like
of Cemetery, right?
Or Rancho de Muerto.
Oh, that's
that
good.
Might be better. Rancho. What would that translate? Muerto. What would be, because Rancho de Muerto might be even, it rolls off the tongue better, doesn't it, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
And it's got a better translation.
Okay.
Dead Man's Ranch.
It's changed. Mike, we have changed it.
It's a winner.
Will not be Rancho de Entierro. Too hard
it,
on the tongue.
It's a winner.
Rancho de Muerto.
Yes.
We have beautiful land here at Rancho de Muerto. It's Dead Man's Ranch. That's fantastic. I love it, love it, love it big time.
Could you introduce that in the neighborhood?
What do you mean, introduce it in the neighborhood?
Like, say, do you like living in Rancho de Muerto?
You mean Ranch of the Dead?
Yes.
No, that's just for me.
I understand.
It also has to be our next shirt.
Yes, Rancho. And please put a welcome on it. Welcome to Rancho de Muerto. Use my picture if you want. I don't care. And because really, I envision Josh a little one of these, like.
But on a headstone.
No, don't overthink it. Just me going, like those pictures you would see on a billboard.
Yeah.
Welcome to Rancho de Muerto. Beautiful. I love it. That's fantastic.
And also, Mike, it sounds elegant.
It's elegant. And that's my world, Rob. You know that. Elegance. That's what I bring. Each and every day, I bring elegance. But what
also thrills.
Thrills, too. But what I really like to do is eat ice cream. Yeah, we're going to talk about Ben and Jerry's, even though we're not supposed to talk about it for a month. We'll be right back, everybody.
We can talk.
Yeah, we can. It's our show. Who's going to stop us? Hello, friends.
Hi.
Listen up. Time is running out to get your TMOS bonus show yearly subscription. The offer ends this Friday at midnight Eastern. Let me talk to you about this. Folks, you like what you listen to? Are you addicted to it? Mm-hmm. Do you not go through a day without getting your fix? Do we take you and build you up sometimes when you're having a bad day? Do you like the show and you like the free show, but you haven't popped for the bonus show subscription, which really keeps us going? Listen, it's all about survivability, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about hanging on for dear life. And it's all about making that man at the bottom of your screen, Josh Soroka, a happy man. This man is pulling out all the stops to monetize this show so we can still continue to bring it to you. So get busy, of course. Please do. We'll still offer monthly and a la carte options, but if you ask for a yearly subscription, your deadline is tomorrow night at midnight. So you're welcome. Remember, we are continuing to maximize your bonus show experience because better access means more fun. As a matter of fact, Messieurs Spiewak and Soroka have bonus content this week that they are releasing. Is that not correct?
It came released out yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday. It's a 30-minute episode.
40.
And what?
40. Yeah.
It's a 40,
we went long.
It's a 40-minute episode where you're talking about baseball, right?
Not really baseball, per se.
Okay, what were you talking about? What's the 40-minute episode?
Costco.
Oh, Costco. If you're a Costco lover and you want bonus content, we have a bonus show tomorrow for you. You can eat. And then bonus show content, if you're like, I just can't get enough, 40 minutes of two white guys talking about a box store. I mean, is that what you're clamoring for? I believe it is.
Mike, I've never been more excited to do a show, and it also allows me to debut our new jingle for the bonus show package, okay?
Okay, let's listen.
More for your money.
Better access means more fun. We're giving you more because you deserve more. This is working beautifully. The first one dropped yesterday, an exclusive TMOS extra, Costco, friend or foe. These are only available to bonus show subscribers. Great extra content that you will love. How do you get it? Easy. Just visit MikeOMaraShow.com. Come back to where you belong.
Yes.
The TMOS bonus show family. All right? I plan on doing an entire bonus show episode in the nude. Remember,
nice.
Your bonus subscription or renewal is not just your source for an extra uncensored show every week. And the TMOS extras, it's much more than that. It's what keeps us on. on the air. It's the way we can continue to provide the free episodes. You don't subscribe, we don't do a show. That's it. All week, do it. It's how we feed our families. Join us, won't you? For any issues or assistance, contact that man at the bottom of your screen, Josh, or email support. Oh, that's support. Support at MikeOMaraShow.com. For additional details, visit the bonus show tab at MikeOMaraShow.com. Coming soon, fresh grilled Soroka dogs. Yummy.
more for your money.
Thank you. We have Sean Greenwood from Ben & Jerry's, who will be appearing on the show.
Good guy.
To talk about their new flavors. They've already debuted them. And in the past, we have been shipped ice cream for special shows. And the generosity of the Ben & Jerry's Corporation, a very, very
multi-millionaire.
Yes.
In the past, you have been shipped ice cream. He's always just brought it to us.
Okay.
He shows up with a cooler, and we do it that way.
All right.
But we're in three locations now, so we can't do that.
Did everybody on the show get ice cream?
I did.
Did you, Josh?
I did.
That's fantastic. Did you get the massive box of ice cream that I received yesterday?
It's amazing when a product is known for pints and you get about 2 gallons of it.
It was delightful. And I know I'm jumping the gun here, but at Happy Valley yesterday, I was having a really, really good time with my mates. A really good time. Lots of laughs. I have been enjoying my time
grab
out
ass?
There. Lots of grab ass. Crotch grabbing, too.
Nice.
You know? Because when you're when you do a podcast, you can grab them right by the balls.
And nobody will say anything.
Nobody will say anything at all.
It's because you're my favorite power bottom.
There it is. And we have, it's wonderful. We oil up. All the way men. I was next to a guy in his 80s. Playing. My buddy Dino. Hi, Dino. Shout out to Dino, who's just a great guy, loving life, and inspires me each and every day.
Dino the Pino?
He's a fantastic guy. Great human being. Wonderful guy. So I'm driving back to Rancho de Muerto to grab some dinner.
Sure.
And Mrs. O'Mara had a long work day supporting me with the lifestyle that I like down here. And I walk in. And by the way, my kid's been sick. He latchkeyed it because I have a mantra, all right? My mantra of life right now is never let anything that's happening in life get in the way of a good golf game.
Hear, hear.
It's kind of the way I live my life. So I pull into Rancho de Muerto, which now I'm really falling in love with, and walk in, and on the stoop, my row house, on the stoop of my row house is a giant box. I mean a giant box.
I would say 20-inch cubed.
Fantastic.
I mean big. Right.
And on the outside of it, I see the Ben & Jerry's logo, and I know right away because Josh has given me a head up that we're getting ice cream. And I knew that, I should get it out of the freeze-dried packaging. By the way, frozen solid.
Mind you, Jerry.
Yes. I think Jerry, if I'm not mistaken, Jerry still does the freeze-dried wrapping, I think. That's the way he does it up there. Yeah. Ben still slaying the dragon, making
Ben does the personal appearances and the live show.
And it's tons. I can't tell you the flavors. It's just tons of stuff.
I normally text my kids and get no response. I sent them this picture, and every single one of them responded.
There it is. There it is. And if you look closely, you will see would those be half gallons, Rob, that are in there?
No, they have quarts and pints.
Quarts and pints. Okay, yeah. Quarts and pints. The quarts were multifold. I'm going to tell you, and I don't care that he's not here.
Yes?
If the coffee chocolate chip ice cream
there they are. Look at that.
Hey, Josh, thanks for the photos.
Yeah, good job.
I used it for my kids, and it makes sense here.
Coffee, what's it say? Chocolate fudge chip. Is it coffee chocolate fudge chip? I'm not sure.
It might be the one that's behind the
Yeah. Because they're 4 quarts, right?
Yes.
Oh my God, so much ice cream. They're all exciting because it's Ben & Jerry's, and who wouldn't be excited? But
every flavor they've ever brought us has been sensational.
Carla had to pry out of my dinner last night was coffee fudge chip ice cream. It's chocolate chip coffee ice cream, which is one of the great flavors of all time.
You are really a child.
Why am I a child?
Because you couldn't wait even 24 hours to break into it?
No, I could not.
No, Mike, you are not a child. Rob as a child, because the first thing he did was not eat the ice cream, but play with the dry ice.
Did anybody else play with the dry ice?
What, did you put it in, like, water and make smoke?
No, well, Mike, what I did, well, to be fair, the first thing I did is I put the ice in the freezer. I put the ice cream in the freezer, because that's where it goes. And then you're left
with
the
pellets. Thanks for the update. That's right next to the river.
Mike, it's all in my book. I'm an idiot. So
what you want to do is take a deep breath in the morning, because the air will help you survive.
As you lower yourself into the chair, you will find that the chair supports your weight.
Absolutely. So tell me more about the dry ice, please.
So the dry ice is at the bottom of the styrofoam box, and the styrofoam box is in a box, and that box is in a box. So it's triple ply. And I'm looking at the dry ice, and I said, you know, trash man's coming today so I can get rid of these boxes. But, I mean, dry ice is great. So I went and I got a gallon of hot water, and I poured it into the styrofoam, and it makes, like, the greatest fog, like stage fog, because it's, you know, it's how it melts. It's frozen carbon dioxide.
Hey, and Josh, you want to know what he's doing? You want to know what he's doing during the day at his home? This is similar to my kid. This is similar to my 11-year-old when he's homesick. He's just farting around doing stuff, making a mess.
It's not every day I have dry ice, and this was me actually not making a mess.
You know, I love you, dude. I love you. That's fantastic.
Rob, maybe get an Xbox or something.
I don't like video games. So I get as much fun out of it as I can. I do gallon pour.
Good for you.
Because what happens is, you know, it gets cold in there. And all the smoke is pouring out. And I say, oh, this was fun.
Should have made a video.
Mike, there was too much urgency for me to get my phone.
Yeah. And that's another thing, Josh. We will never change that. About him.
Correct.
That would have been a spectacular video for the show. Do you think that ever entered his brain? No, because his brain doesn't do that. His brain is the brain of how would you describe your brain, Rob? I don't even know how to describe your brain. That is the brain of a child to a degree.
No, my brain is nearly full. That's how I describe my brain.
All right.
So the stuff that it's hard to introduce new things. Well, I said, I got to get rid of this because I don't want this box in my driveway or my garage. So I go out in the driveway and I realize if a neighbor was looking out the window, it
looks
would
like
look
you're
like
bringing something burning out
a
into
box
your driveway.
Of fire.
There you go. Right. And hilarity ensued. Did you look
I'm
around?
Walking, yes,
did you look
I did.
Around to see if there are any neighbors
checking
out? But I
mean, Mike, as I'm walking, there's just enough breeze to agitate the box so there's smoke pouring out of it. So what I did is I threw the dry ice in the road. So it could go away, and then I jumped up and down on it and broke it up. And then I looked outside, and about 20 minutes later, all the carbon dioxide was gone.
Very good. Congratulations. That was fantastic.
You've never played with dry ice? It's fun.
Yeah, I probably have, but just not in that particular concept. I was doing a beeline to the ice cream. And the reason I didn't have self-discipline, inhibitions were low, Rob, because at Happy Valley I had also probably enjoyed maybe one more adult beverage than I should have had. Yeah. You know.
Well, you weren't really drunk or you would have eaten the dry ice.
We'll be right back, everybody. Listen up, beautiful
maniacs. I should have taken a video, Mike. I should have taken it.
Yeah, it would have been great. DermGlow Skin welcomes the new year and new beginnings. What are your aspirations for 2025? Rob Spiewak are to play with as much dry ice as he possibly can.
I love chemistry.
Derm Glow Skin and Carla are here to empower you, whether you're resolved to lose a pound or 100, even 200 pounds. Carla is dedicated to guiding you. Let Derm Glow Skin be your partner for all your peptide needs. Explore semaglutide, tirzepatide, that's the one I take, somorolin, B12, NAD+, synapsin, glutathione. I do the NAD+, and I do it in a nasal spray, and it is wonderful for the brain and for energy.
That explains so much, Mike. I've been using the GONAD+.
No, that'll slow you down. Incidentally, the most amazing variety of skincare products. I use the Citrus Scrub. I use the Repair Bar. I use their Sun Guard, all delivered to your doorstep. You can experience the comfort of transformation from your own home. Even better, Carla's always there to support you. Her email box never closes. Visit DermGlowSkin.com and discover the Weight Management and Peptides button. I am Mike O'Mara, and I say vote yes to the Tyson's Corner Casino. Spies don't bother me, sitting in high-end poker rooms exchanging secrets. Ain't nothing but a thing. Am I right, ladies? Now, go in peace, ladies and gentlemen.
Ain't nothing but a thing, Mike.
Ain't nothing but a thing, ladies and
gentlemen.
Hey,
I like that. Some beautiful video.
Oh, bubbling over, Mike.
77.
WABC.
Bubbling over with...
bubbling over with fun. Mike, I have a question. I know you get sick of Paul McCartney. I think even I, his biggest fan, get sick of Paul McCartney sometimes.
No, you don't.
I think he's a little over the top sometimes. Yeah, great legacy.
If it's Paul McCartney, it's on the show. If it's anything Mike, about Paul, it's on
the
show.
This is not Paul today. Okay. This is Ringo. Now, as you know,
I like Ringo.
Drums loom large in his legend, as George says that in A Hard Day's Night. Drums loom large in his legend, and he's got a new album out, produced by T-Bone Burnett. It's a country album essentially, and Ringo's always liked country music. Ringo is so cool and easygoing. If he would just stop darkening his hair, I think we could all.
He's in his 80s now, isn't he?
Yes.
Black hair, jet black hair, not a gray hair in sight.
It's getting darker. Ringo, don't do this. But anyway, he revealed something that I found fascinating on Jimmy Kimmel.
They could catch you now, maybe. Yeah, you know?
I promise you they couldn't.
And they couldn't?
Oh, he looks amazing.
You've been famous for a very, very long time.
What?
And there are a lot of stories about you. There are millions of stories about you. You know, what I like to do is kind of weed through those. You mind if I ask you about some stories? And you tell me if they're true or false, if you have any details. Is it true you've never eaten pizza?
I've never had a pizza. Never had a pizza.
Wow.
We had all those people in the back go, what? Order curry.
That's a British thing.
It's crazy, you know.
Well, I'm allergic to several items.
On the pizza,
you don't know what they're putting in it half the time.
I didn't know. Can you imagine? No pizza.
He looks
great.
Nothing. I mean, I know he's darkening the hair, but it works for Ringo.
Would you look
at that guy if you knew nothing about him and say that's a man in his 80s?
No
effing way.
And so positive with his outlook. He's coming to town again this summer. I'll go see him again.
It's an allergy thing. That's what it is. It's an allergy thing.
I don't know what you could put in it.
No pizza.
But I love that. I thought that was really
cool. That was a cool one.
Mike, have you ever gone out on a day and just said, I'm going to do something wacky? Let's have some fun today.
With dry ice.
Let's not pay attention to the rules. Guess what some guys did in Queens, New York?
What?
They stole something.
Oh.
It'd be a big deal if you stole like a bike, motorcycle, a car. Sure. All of those are big.
Yeah, don't do that. No.
Yeah, but they stole a subway train.
This video shared on social media of a reckless ride on an R train is now at the center of an NYPD investigation. It shows several people on board the subway train, one dangling their feet off the front, while it appears to move pretty fast. The NYPD was called to the Forest Hills 71st Avenue subway station Saturday night for train vandalism. According to police, MTA employees told officers people entered the unoccupied train, operated it at a short distance, and also broke numerous train car windows.
They found the key in it.
Jesus Christ.
Stole a subway train.
I mean, the potential for disaster is nuts.
It's like the taking of Pelham 1-2-3, but with morons.
Two great movies. The remake was good, and the original was phenomenal.
Love the first one. Oh,
Martin Balsam. Yes,
Robert
sir.
Shaw.
Yeah,
so
terrific. Good job.
Do you think they ditched it once they realized they couldn't get it off the track?
They took the wheels off of it.
No, they painted New York Giants on it.
I need that. Thank you.
Mike, let's say you get a school closing announcement for Michael, and they say,
this is Wade Byard.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be Wade for you.
Leesburg, the Loudoun County school system is
2 hours late. But this is not a snow-related closing. This is not weather-related at all. What would you do if you said, hey, you can't go to school today because of a power outage because thieves stole all the copper wire out of the school?
Oh, very popular.
Kids who attend classes here at Solano Wiedenman Leadership Academy
California
will instead be at home after the electrical system was knocked out by a thief or thieves.
Upon further examination, we discovered, you know, that someone had broken in and has stripped all our copper wiring out of the breaker.
Well, here I am. Someone broke in.
I've dealt with this.
You've dealt with Hold on. I want to get to the bottom of this. A person going into a breaker panel and removing the copper wire that's in there?
Yes, but it normally happens on construction sites.
Yeah, because like, you could grab like a roll of it, right?
Yeah, hold on. Well, no, Josh. I always thought that stealing copper wire would be like you go onto a job site where it's all coiled up and you steal it that way. But no,
here's how you do it. You go in and you go right to the top of the breaker box and you cut all the wire. And then you go to all the boxes and you cut the wire and then you just start yanking it out of the wood.
That's right, Mike. You cut the wire, then you start yanking it.
Right.
It just destroys and you have to redo the whole thing. I've had it
happen
many times.
So you literally are pulling all of the wiring out of the electrical wiring out of a home.
Yep. And if it gets stuck or doesn't pull well, you just go and cut it. And I've seen thieves do this and they'll leave wherever it's like nailed down, they'll leave that chunk of it. Because they're just in there with wire cutters and cutting it as fast as they can to get out of there.
According to the chat room, the scrap value of copper is $350 to $385 a pound.
Okay.
And that's a lot of money. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, the school has to like redo all of their electrical infrastructure now because of the thieves.
Can you imagine how much they got if it was a building like that? A school as opposed to a private home? It must have been amazing.
But it tasted like copper.
Yeah. I don't know how they got it in a finished building. Because all the walls are closed up. The wire's behind the wall.
You know what? You can never underestimate the ingenuity of a good thief.
Yeah.
There you go.
I wonder if there's any copper in that subway train.
There's copper in my mouth. A copper taste right now.
I know.
That's just from my health issues, though.
Mike, if you plug your TV into the super antenna, it turns your entire house into an antenna because of all the copper.
I bought that. Yes, sir. I did. I'm an idiot. I bought
that. You were so pleased when you bought that, and I brought you in a vintage ad from like 1952 that had the same notion.
Super antenna.
Super antenna.
Works with electrical outlets. Day.
Let's close with this.
I'm Mike O'Mara, and I'm dying to be sold. That's it.
Dave Dornbush.
Thank you. Food saver.
All
air fryers.
Mike, dry clothes. Yay. Food saver. Let's close with this.
Paul Popeil, peel me a grape. Thank you very much.
Did you ever buy a rotisserie oven?
I did. I swear to God, I did. The Showtime rotisserie oven.
I was gifted one, and we're sure it was from an aunt and uncle who have passed since. We're sure it was a re-gift because it wasn't in the original box.
Guaranteed to fall apart after 3 months.
Delicious chicken. There's a new movie out called Riff Raff. I'll show you a brief scene from it here to end our beautiful video today. You're going to see Bill Murray, who is occasionally still working, and you're going to see Pete Davidson. There's a lot of people in this movie. Jennifer Coolidge is in this movie. It's going to be a big star-studded thing, but I like this opening scene.
No Slim Jims. Past 2 hours, you've been passing gas like a very sick infant. I gotta breathe all day.
I'm sorry, Lefty. I had a lot of coffee, okay? Sorry.
And then you use my name? Jesus Christ, Lonnie.
He just said my name.
You catch our names by any chance?
Yeah, he called you Lefty, and you called him Lonnie.
Well, I overreacted.
Wow. That's quirky, interesting, right?
Yeah, it's pulled me in. I want to watch it.
I'm
in.
I will go see it. I will go see it. Yeah.
Bill Murray offing somebody. Pretty
spectacular. Another Bill Murray quote from the movie. He says, "Once you kill someone once, it becomes your go-to solution for all problems."
Very interesting. All right, we got to take a powder. We'll be back with a bonus episode tomorrow.
Yay.
If you would like to subscribe, you've got till midnight tomorrow night to subscribe to the bonus show content and, of course, all the great extras like Josh and Rob Dukosko. That's special, and that's extra, but only if you are a bonus show subscriber. Coming soon, Carla and Mike and the state of their marriage on a bonus show extra, ladies and gentlemen.
You're not going to talk about Walmart?
Walmart, Carla and I will talk about Walmart since you handled Costco, you know. Maybe Target. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Sirocco, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
I'm going to do an episode about sheets.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Well, I don't get a brain man. Call me.
Here's Johnny.
How about that?
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.